good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. You know, I was just talking with my friend Mike here this morning, and I said, you know, at the end of the service, I'd like to have a little bit of an altar call, and if just one person gets saved today, this morning, all of heaven will be, the whole kingdom of heaven will be rejoicing, and we've already had it happen this morning, so we're excited. This is a day that the Lord has made. So if there's anybody new here that doesn't know me, I'm going to introduce myself and my family. My name's Rich Allen. I lead the worship team, and I've been serving at TGP for around 7 years or so. And by the way, I'd like to just talk up these worship guys up here. They put a lot of work in. They put a lot of time in. They're faithful. Thank you. So Miss Vicky and John, I appreciate them so much for all that they sacrifice and all that they do, getting up early every Sunday morning and being here, usually between 8 and 8:30. It's bright and early, so they do a great job. Corey and Brittany for the sacrifice and for the servant's heart of these guys. And for Daniela, she's amazing. And this team, those are our pillars, you know. Those are our leaders in worship. And there's a lot more that goes into it than what we see out here. And I just thank you guys for that. I've been serving here for around 7 years, and this is my beautiful wife, Kelly, here in the second row. Wave to them. She's an awesome wife and mother and a very prophetic woman of God, and she really helps me. And the Holy Spirit uses her to speak to me, and I thank God for her. So that's my wife, Kelly. My daughter, McKenna, she's not here. She must be out in the restroom or something, but... So my daughter, McKenna, she's getting ready to be married, Gabe, and so we're excited about that. But she's the youth pastor here, the Ignite. There's Gabe. She's the Ignite pastor here, and she does a great job with that. And then I have two sons. One's here today, one's not, Kanan and Kobe. They're 18 and 19 years old, and they're on the right track to being strong men of God, in Jesus' name. Okay? Thank you, guys. So that's a little bit about me. Pastor Rose in California. Pastor Magon's here. But I just wanted to take a minute to acknowledge them and appreciate them. We love our pastors. And we just appreciate everything that they do. I remember first seeing Pastor Rowe and Megan in a ministry in another church, and I remember the first time I ever, we didn't officially meet, but the first time I ever saw them, they lived in a little apartment, upstairs apartment across from Hardee's, and this has probably been 15 plus years ago, right? So it's been between 15 and 20 years. Anyway, so I was delivering packages for UPS, and I climbed these steps up to this upstairs apartment, and this guy comes out, and he's just all smiles. And I recognize this guy from church. You know, we've never met or anything. But he's just got this great big smile, you know. And he's just so warm and so loving. And then Megan even came to the door, you know. And she's smiling and stuff. And I'm just like, it's kind of weird. I'm like, these guys, I don't know. I remember walking away thinking, like, these guys are kind of weird. But it was that love, you know, that the love of Jesus was just reverberating off of them. You know what I mean? So they've always been that way. It's always been that way with them, and I just so much appreciate that, the love of Christ that comes off of them. And Pastor Rowe was the very first one that called on me to do any type of music stuff where we served prior to TGP. He called me up, and he said, hey, we're having a men's thing, and I know you don't do any music, but I heard you play guitar and sing. Would you come and do something? I said, no. No thanks. I like playing the guitar and singing, but no. So, you know, the next day, my wife, Holy Spirit speaking through her, says, you know, you really should do that. Or I don't remember exactly how it was worded, but, you know, I think you should do that. I called him back up. Hey, I'll do it, you know. And that was our start. So, you know, I appreciate that. Pastor Rowe kind of pushing me into that. And then there was a time in my life there where I'm not too proud of. Anybody have some time in their life where they're not too proud of? Right, so you guys know where I'm at. I had a time like that where, and I needed some marriage counseling. You know, I was being pretty stupid. And I needed a little bit of marriage counseling. So Pastor Rowe at the time lived in Cincinnati. And he actually took the time to, we didn't do Zoom meetings back in. We didn't, cell phones were like the little flip phones, I think. But kids were little, so it's been a while. And but he took the time to talk on the phone with me. And I mean hours. You know, I don't know if you ever talked to Pastor Rowe. It's great, but it can be hours, you know, and it was awesome. And so he took the time to minister to me, to counsel me. And I love that he didn't use like psychological things and things of this world. He was kingdom-minded. And we're going to get into that today. That's what I want to talk about, is being kingdom-minded. But Pastor Rowe was kingdom-minded. And he told me, he said, you know, do you want to fight for your family? And I said, yeah. And he said, then cry out to God like never before. I said, okay. He said, do you want to fight for your wife? And I said, well, yeah, I want to fight for my wife. He said, then seek God like never before. And, you know, I'll never forget that. Thank you, Pastor Rowe. Thank you, Megan. So we just love them and appreciate them. Could we get a big round of applause for them, appreciation for them? We love you guys. We love you guys. We're very grateful. And also for Pastor Megan. She makes TGP rock and roll. So you guys don't realize that. Yeah, she does. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, a lot of hours that go into it that you don't realize, and a lot of administrative things that go into it that Pastor Megan does, and now Christine's doing some of that too. But we so appreciate Pastor Megan for that too. So thank you for that. So I just want to take a second. It seems a little weird. And just prophesy over the service today. I was talking with Mike this morning, my new friend, and I told him, I said, whether you've been saved for a week or whether you've been saved for 20 years, I believe that God's word can impact you today with what he's got to say today. There's power in God's word, and I asked Daniela, and she talked about chains being broken. I believe that chains will be broken today. Chains will be broken today. I believe that someone will be stirred up in this place today. Somebody will be stirred up in this place in Jesus' name, okay? There'll be a shift in someone's thinking today. There will be in Jesus' name. Because of God's word, because of the power of God's word that will come forth. It doesn't matter who's bringing it. It doesn't matter who's bringing it. God's word comes forth, there will be a change. Someone will see a manifestation of the power of God today. Someone will see a manifestation of the power of God today in their lives. I believe that because there's power in God's word. When we come to church, we should be in anticipation of a manifestation of the power of God. We should, every Sunday. So this shouldn't be just a thing where we come to church as a routine or as a ritual. And guess who's guilty? I'm guilty of doing that at times, right? But we should be in anticipation of a miracle. We really should. Think if Jesus Christ was standing right up here with me, or he was here and I wasn't here, and we put flyers out, and we put it on the radio, Jesus Christ is here. Can you imagine? You wouldn't be able to get in this building, and people would have violent faith and tear the roof to get in, right? Well, guess what, TGP? He's here. Thank you, Jesus. He's here right now. So with that in mind, we should be expecting a miracle today. We should be expecting a supernatural turnaround today, each one of us. And I was talking with Josephine here a couple weeks ago, and when you take God's word and you mix it with faith, you get a manifestation of the power of God. When you mix God's word with your faith, there's a manifestation of the power of God. And that's why we'll see that manifestation today. Because I hope that this word will stir your faith up, and you can go home and you can find the word that applies to your situation. You can find the word that applies to whatever trial you're going through, and you can Meditate on that, and you can begin to build your faith to where you can release it and see that manifestation of the power of God. It's His power. It's His power. We look at, as an example of that, we look at the woman with the issue of blood. She fought with this illness for 12 years. 12 years. That's a long time. I mean, there's people that deal with something for 6 months and they're ready to give up. You know, even as Christians, I see, you know, even there's 6 months, 12 long years, she dealt with this. And it says she went through many physicians. I mean, sometimes for us, it might just take one physician and we're ready to give up, right? Went through all of her money. You guys know the story, and I'm actually going to use the story in the sermon as we move on. But she actually heard the word. She heard the word. She heard that Jesus, this man Jesus, was going around healing all, and he was casting out demons, and he was performing all these miracles. So she took that word. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. She heard the word, and then she took that word, and she meditated on it, and she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. She started rolling that around in her head. She started meditating on that. Faith started to come. Faith started to show up. So she took that word, and she mixed it with faith. And then she acted on her faith. She got up out of the house, weak, you know, with this issue of blood. And she went out, I can imagine it, pushing through this crowd. And I can imagine it being like a mosh pit at a rock concert or something, you know, just elbow to elbow. And she pushed through. So she acted on her faith. So she mixed the word with her faith, and it produced a manifestation of the power of God. It produced results. And the same thing can happen for you today. The same thing can happen today. So with all that being said, I want to talk about a kingdom mindset today. A kingdom mindset. Well, first of all, let's just, I want to take just a second. I know His presence is here. But I want to just close our eyes for a minute and just thank Him and just invite His presence. So speak out to Him right now. Jesus, we worship You. We honor You in this house. We invite Your presence. It's all about You. God, we invite Your presence, Your almighty power in this room. We thank You that every chain is broken. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, we invite You into this place. We honor You, and we thank You. In Jesus' name. Okay, so a kingdom mindset is what we want to talk about today. And I want to answer three questions about a kingdom mindset in this lecture. First one being simply, what is a kingdom mindset? Number one, what is a kingdom mindset? Number two, how do we get a kingdom mindset? Practically, how do we get a kingdom mindset, right? Number three, how do we maintain a kingdom mindset? It'll be important to maintain that kingdom mindset once we get it. So those are three questions that I'd like to answer in this today. So let's start with, what is a kingdom mindset? We're going to go through a few definitions and a few examples in God's Word. And I got a lot of scriptures today. I felt bad for the media team back here. I got a lot of scriptures today. But I don't like it to be man's opinion. I like to be able to say, hey, let's look at God's Word. My opinion doesn't count. It's what God's word. Okay, so that's why there's so many scriptures. And there's even some scriptures today that I'm going to use that aren't going to be up on the boards. So if you want to jot those down for those of you guys who are taking notes. What is a kingdom mindset? A kingdom mindset is a way of thinking that is rooted in the laws and the principles of the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom mindset is a way of thinking that is rooted in the laws and principles of the kingdom of heaven. All right? A kingdom mindset doesn't look at life through a natural man's perspective. Kingdom mindset looks at the supernatural power of God. A kingdom mindset is looking at things in your life through the truth of God's word. And that's important. Not by what you see or the circumstances around you, by the truth of God's word. So what God's word says about you is what you should have. Who he says you are, what he says you should have, and you should be able to do what he says you can do. If you're not having that in your life, then it's perverse. It's perverse. Okay. So when we look at the other side of that, we wanted to define a carnal mindset. You may hear me say carnal mindset or worldly mindset or earthly mindset. That's basically a mindset that is limited to the abilities of man or limited to the abilities of this earth realm, the laws and principles of this earth. And we see a bunch of examples in the Bible that's so cool that are that prove that the laws and the kingdom of God, they supersede the earth realm. Okay? The laws and principles of this earth have to yield to the kingdom of God. So I think that's important to understand that as we're talking about a kingdom mindset. That's important to realize that everything that's here in this earth realm was first born in the spirit realm, was born in the kingdom. As we're here on earth, with circumstances and things around us, they look so real because that's what we're used to. That's what we grew up with. So when you hear a bad report, you know, when fear comes, that's because that's what you've grown up with. That's what you're used to. But we need to understand this morning that the kingdom of God supersedes all of that. Kelly would say this, there's facts. There may be a fact in your life, but then there's the truth of the word of God, right? And when you're in that moment, that can be hard to sometimes to swallow. But as you meditate on this and as you begin to think about this, your faith will grow for this. So anyway, the laws of the kingdom supersede the laws of the earth realm. We see so many examples of this in the Bible. Okay, so we see where Jesus calmed a storm. Have you guys ever seen anybody calm a storm before? Have you ever seen anybody walk out and speak to a storm before and have it stop? I haven't either. Actually, years ago when I was a kid in church, I heard a story of some people that were driving through the country, and they came up to a bridge, and a tornado was coming. And it was coming right for them. And they said, you know, in the name of Jesus, get off the ground. And this tornado comes, and it lifts right up, goes right over them, and comes and touches down behind him and keeps going. I've never seen it happen, but that was the testimony. That was the testimony. But Jesus calmed a storm. That's an example of the kingdom of heaven superseding this earth realm, this natural earth realm. And we'll find out as we keep going that we're to do the same things that Jesus did. The Red Sea was split. There's another example. Something totally impossible. I've never seen a sea split. But the kingdom of heaven, the power of God, split that sea for them, correct? Then we see where Jesus walked on the water. Have you guys ever seen anybody walk on the water? I haven't either. In the earth realm, that's impossible. Physics, whatever, that's impossible, right? But nothing's impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with the kingdom of heaven. And that's important to realize this morning. No matter what you're going through in your life, don't look at your capabilities. Look at God's capabilities. And we're going to get into that some more here in a minute. I get ahead of myself, but it's exciting. So let's look at Peter, where he walks on the water. Let's turn to Matthew 14, 28 through 29 in the English Standard Version. This is another example. Not only of Jesus, we see in this example that it's not only Jesus that had examples of the kingdom of God overcoming the earth realm, but that his disciple does as well. Well, guess what? We're his disciples as well. Okay, so it says, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came to Jesus. So we see right here that he was just waiting for the word. He was waiting for the word of Jesus. So I guess, again, we see where he took the word, he mixed it with faith, and he had a manifestation of the power of God. We see it again here. Peter had a kingdom mindset, all right? He knew he couldn't walk on that water in terms of the earth realm. He's not stupid. If Jesus wasn't there, I'm sure he wouldn't have tried to step out of that boat. There ain't no way. And he had to have that word. And then when Jesus said, you can do it, you can do it. Well, guess what? God's word is full of things that it says that we can do. We're going to look at a few examples of that as we go along. But we need to see that the Holy Spirit, through this word, shows us how to walk this out. Shows us how to walk it out. It wasn't possible with an earthly mindset, but he knew that if Jesus gave him the word, he could do it. Peter knew that kingdom law and the word of God makes all things possible. In that moment, he trusted God enough to do this crazy thing in a storm. In a storm. He had a kingdom mindset to even expect that he could ever walk on the water without sinking. So we're talking about this kingdom mindset. And Peter had it. He didn't look at the circumstances. He didn't look at the impossibility of it. He knew Jesus well enough to know that this is possible with him. This is possible with God. And church, we can come to a place where our faith is built up enough that we can believe that all things are possible through God. But it's important that we begin to use this kingdom mindset and start turning our back on this earthly mindset. Now, this is something we're going to talk about. It's going to take time. We'll get into some ways that we're going to do that. But it's very important that we learn to do that. Because all things are possible with God. Okay, an earthly mindset looks at the capabilities of men or to yourself. Where a kingdom mindset looks only to the power of God and his capabilities. And I can say for myself that there's been a lot of times that I'm guilty of doing both. You know, I'll look at God's capabilities. I'm all fired up one day. Yeah, I'm ready to go 1 hour. The next hour, I'm like, okay, what can I do now? God, I know you got this. Hey, does anybody know what can I do? Like, I'm worried, you know? That's not fully faith. You're not fully in faith there. You're not fully convinced yet. And these guys are in our small group. You guys hear a lot of this kingdom stuff, so I hope it's not repetitive for you today. But we should always look at God's capabilities in the situation. And sometimes that's hard to do, but we need to have scripture that we can go to and meditate that scripture, speak it out loud, stir ourselves up. Fan the fire, so to speak. And I've had times where I've just felt like I'm just back and forth, some terrible situations. And you go back to that word, and you fan the fire. And you build it up until you're back in faith. Okay, I'm where I need to be. Thank you, Jesus. You got this. I'm looking at your capabilities and your capabilities alone. And it can be hard to do, but you just keep going back to his word. Keep going back to his word. Let's look at David's mindset. You guys all know the story of David and Goliath. But I want to use this to show you his mindset as far as where it comes to the capabilities, him looking at capabilities of himself or God. So let's look at 1 Samuel 17:37. I think that's in the English Standard as well. So you guys know the story where David's taking food to his brothers, and Goliath's acting crazy, and everybody's scared, and David's brothers get mad at him and all that stuff, and David winds up talking to Saul. And that's what we'll pick up here in verse 37. It says, and David said, the Lord who delivered me. Right from the get-go, what is he looking at? He's looking at the capabilities of God. He's not looking at his own capabilities. And this is a man of war. This is a man of war. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. and you'll deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Let's skip down to verse 43. So we see there where he's looking at God, the Lord who delivered me from the lion. Okay, verse 43 says, and the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? The Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come at me with sword and spear and with javelin. I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. That's powerful. He's looking at the capabilities of God in the face of death. In the earth realm, he has no chance. He is a severe underdog. He doesn't have the weaponry or the technology. He's a severe underdog. But David's this kid that he's learned how to praise God. He's learned how to look to God and to look to his capabilities. In any battle that you're in today, you could be outnumbered. You could be a severe underdog. It could be no possible way in this earth realm that it can happen, that it could work in your favor. But if you put your trust in God, all things are possible. All things are possible. See, church, we need to change our mindset. That's a kingdom mindset. All things are possible because of the power of God and his word. Somebody stirred up. Somebody's getting stirred up, starting to. So, he looked to God to defeat the lion and bear, and he believed that God's capabilities would help him through him could defeat the Goliath. So, he didn't look at his capabilities, like I said, or the circumstances around. He didn't even take the armor from Saul. He didn't even take the armor from Saul. Sometimes we should do the same and not take everybody else's advice. You really have to be careful who you associate with, because they'll take your kingdom mindset and they'll turn it, and you'll be back to an earthly mindset. But he didn't have that from Saul. He said, nope, I'm good. David was a mighty man of war, and he ran to God. His mind was set on God's power, not his own power. This is a strength, not a weakness. Run into God. Running to God. It's a strength, not a weakness. Even though we may be weak, he's an almighty, all-powerful God. I heard a testimony of a pastor who was praying, and he got a rhema word from God, a revelation from God. And God said to him, you have two eyes. Son, you have two eyes. Can you look down at the ground with one eye and look up at the sky with the other eye? And he said, I tried it and it wouldn't work. He said, then don't ever claim to be looking at me when you're looking to man. That's powerful. The pastor said from then on, the rest of his life, that changed his life. And he said, from now on, I look only at God. And I think, friends at TGP, I think that if we could change our mindset just to that, if we just got that today, we could see a supernatural turnaround in our lives. Now, we talked about the woman with the issue of blood before we got started, but I want to talk about her again. So could we look at Mark 5, 25 through 29? Mark 25 through 29, English Standard Version. I'm going to read that. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. was no better, but rather grew worse. She heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, if I even touch his garments, I'll be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. The woman could have chosen to look at these impossible circumstances. This is just another example of being kingdom-minded. She could have looked at the circumstances, 12 long years, like I said earlier. Most of us can't do 6 months. 12 years. You know, the Holy Spirit showed me this yesterday morning. I was in the bathroom. She had this history of 12 long years of having an earthly mindset. 12 years of it. And as soon as she heard the word, after 12 years of this, her mindset was changed. So that's an example of anyone in this room or anyone watching today, that you could take that word and instantly your mind could be changed. Your mindset could be changed to a kingdom mindset. Because 12 years of this, many physicians, all of her money, all of her time, she heard that Jesus was a healer. She got that word, and it instantly changed her mindset. And we know the outcome of that story, right? Supernaturally. So we need to pray for God's empowering grace to change our mindset to a kingdom mindset. We need to pray. We need to pray for that. We need to ask God for that. And I need to hurry up. I'm not going to have enough time today. So why a kingdom mindset? What are the benefits of a kingdom mindset? What are the benefits? We need a kingdom mindset to fulfill the assignment that God has on our lives. Friends, if you don't realize it or if you don't know it, God has a plan for each and every one of you in this room. He has a plan for you. He has something he needs you to carry out. We need faith in a kingdom mindset to reach our promised land. Well, you know, we have a vision. Not only does God have something for us and something for us to do and somewhere to go, we have things that we want to see come true in our lives, right? There will always be a Red Sea to cross to get to your promised land. There will always be a giant in the land. You know, Kelly and I talk about that. It's like, seems like sometimes it's just one thing after another. You know, and then once one thing's, then here's something else. We were just talking about that. But there will always be an enemy trying to stop your forward progress and your momentum and slow you down. This is where we need a kingdom mindset. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James Version says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So with a kingdom mindset, we're on the right track. This is another benefit of having a kingdom mindset. With a kingdom mindset, we begin to see ourselves the way God intended us to be. More than conquerors. The head, not the tail. Blessed everywhere we go. Blessed everything we do. Your mindset will set the course and the direction for your life. Having a kingdom mindset will affect your level of faith. It'll affect your level of faith. How's that? As we think and meditate on God's word, our faith grows. And faith is the master key to a world of victory over every attack of the devil. Faith is the master key. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the key for the impossible things in your life. A kingdom mindset is a good foundation to build your faith on. As you meditate God's word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. As your mindset is a kingdom mindset, you begin to meditate and grow. I was reading a book, Pastor David Oyedepo says in his book, The Unlimited Power of Faith, that faith converts you to divinity. You start seeing the way that God sees things. You start thinking the way that God thinks. You start talking the way that God talks. You start acting the way God acts. You start daring whatever God would dare. That's powerful. That's anointed. Let's look at Matthew 19 and 26 in the English Standard Version. Thanks, guys. You guys are doing a great job with that. By the way, these guys come in early, too. These guys have a servant's heart, too. Thank you. This says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Kingdom mindset and faith opens the doors to endless possibilities in our lives. Okay, science proves, we're talking about the benefits of the kingdom. We're talking about benefits of a kingdom mindset, rather. Science proves that negative thoughts impact our biochemistry and our mental health as well. Science proves the Bible a lot of times, guys. So for a lot of you that are having any questions about the Bible, the earth proves it. Science proves it. Repeated negative thoughts such as anger, resentment, fear, depression may cause our bodies to release a stress hormone called cortisol and adrenaline. Over time, high levels of these hormones can contribute to mental health symptoms, and here's a few of them. Anxiety, insomnia, depression, irritability, poor concentration and attention, poor memory, exhaustion. These are negative thoughts. These would be your earth realm thoughts, agreeing with what you see around you in the earth realm. Here's a few of the positive thoughts, positive thinking, kingdom thinking, health benefits of positive thinking. Researchers continue to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health. Health benefits that positive thinking may provide include increased lifespan, lower rates of depression, lower levels of distress and pain, greater resistance to illness, better psychological and physical well-being, better cardiovascular health and reduced risk of death from cardiovascular disease and stroke, reduced risk of death from cancer, reduced risk from death of respiratory conditions, reduced risk of death from infections, better coping skills during hardships and times of stress. So we see here from a science standpoint, there are benefits to having a kingdom mindset, right? It's important to have a kingdom mindset because our mindset affects the words that come out of our mouths. And this is big. This is big. Let's look at Luke 6:45 in the English Standard Version, please. It says, a good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and an evil person out of the evil treasure of his heart produces evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So with a kingdom mindset, the abundance of your heart is going to be God's word and what he says about you and what situation should be according to God's word. And it's important that we speak God's word and not what we see, because there's power of life and death in our tongues. God has given us authority to bind and loose here on earth. All right, so if we look at Matthew 18:18 in the English Standard Version, he says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So he's given us authority with our mouths, all right? Basically, that means whatever we allow here on heaven, whatever we allow here on earth, heaven's backing it up. Whatever we bind on earth, God's backing that up in heaven. Let's look at Proverbs 18:21 in the English Standard. Like I said, I don't want this to be opinion, so we're showing you God's word where it says these things, all right? It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What you say, it makes a big difference. We are We have God's DNA in us. We're created in the image of God. God created the earth with words. He put the stars in the sky with words. We have his DNA. It's important that we speak the results that we want. Not necessarily what we see. The results that we want to see. Don't speak negative things. Speak only things that line up with the kingdom and God's word. You will have what you speak. We look at example of that where Jesus was going to, the little girl was sick, and they said, hey, Jesus, come over here and heal this little girl. And he got there, and they said, don't worry about it, she's dead. That's the circumstance, obviously. But Jesus said, she's not dead, she's sleeping. He refused to agree with the earth realm. He refused to agree with the earth realm. And he had such a strong kingdom mindset. He knew the result. He knew the result. Friends, we can do that too. We'll get there. Okay, so let's move on to how do you get a kingdom mindset? How do you get a kingdom mindset? I have 5 points here. How do you get a kingdom mindset? So we know what the difference is. We know some of the benefits and advantages of having a kingdom mindset. How do you get one? How do you get a kingdom mindset? We all need a kingdom mindset. 5 points. Number one, if you're taking notes, to obtain a kingdom mindset, you must have knowledge of God's word and meditate on God's word. That's your number one way. It's just like if you're trying to go out and drive a car, you got to know the laws. You got to know the rules. Well, God's word is a set of rules. It's a set of laws that we need to know. What are my rights? What am I supposed to have? What am I supposed to be able to do, right? All that's in God's word, and we need to know it. The word says that my children die from lack of knowledge. So I don't want to perish because I don't know the rules, and I don't know the laws, and I don't know what I'm entitled to. You know, they were getting ready to, They were getting ready to whip, who was it, Paul? Paul. They were getting ready to whip him, and he said, stop, is it legal? He knew his rights, and they withdrew immediately. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we got to renew our mind. We got to know the laws. We got to know them first. So how do you get a kingdom mindset? Number one, you got to know. You got to know your rights. You got to know the law. And that comes through reading the word and meditating on the word. We got to renew our minds. Let's look at Romans 12:2 in the English Standard, please. Romans 12:2. That says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here we're being commanded to renew our minds, right? We're being commanded that we need to renew our minds. So it's not just, hey, this is a good idea. This is God telling us. Behind every scripture is the voice of God. This is God telling you. You need a kingdom mindset. You need to transform your mind. You need to renew your mind. Your life should line up with what God's word says about you. I said that a little bit ago. And if it doesn't, then it's perverse. It's perverse. Okay, so number two. Spend time listening to sermons and reading books about the kingdom of God. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, I'll be transparent. Sometimes I get bored reading the Bible. It's like, you know, sometimes it feels dry. You know, especially the King James. I'm like, what is he saying here? I got to go look at, give me the picture book or something, you know? So it helps me to, listen to sermons. I love Pastor Rowe. We're here, we're diving into Pastor Rowe, you know, on Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, but you know, you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during the day, Thursday, Friday. And Kelly and I have favorite pastors that we listen to as well. You know, you don't just eat, you know, breakfast and lunch on Sunday. You eat all week. It's the same thing with our spirit, man. We need to be fed all week. And then I find books on topics that I'm interested in as far as the kingdom, you know. And you'll find an author that just, oh, wow. You know, and you read every book they got. That's the way Kelly and I do. And so that's another way that you can get a kingdom mindset. You know, there's pastors that have 20, 30 years of experience and revelation word from God. Well, I don't have to wait 30 years. He's right here. I'm going to read it right now and learn it right now, right? So that's a great way too. Number three, join in a small group or Bible study. It's a great way to get a kingdom mindset. We have a small group that we have been running for, I don't know, how long have we been doing that? The small group. About a year? Okay, yeah, around a year or so. And we love it, man, having the connection with people, but also bringing God's word, bringing God's word. Spending time with kingdom-minded people is a huge thing too. You don't want to be spending time in God's word during the week, and then you've got these friends that they don't, and they actually speak with an earthly mindset, and they say words that kind of make you feel weird when they say them and uncomfortable. You know, we've probably all got those friends, you know, and yeah, or we're around them at work, right? But we need to be careful who we hang out with and who we spend time with. You know, you guys have always heard, show me your friends and I'll show you my future. It's the same type of thing. If you want your kingdom mindset to grow, you know, you don't want to spend all your time unequally yoked with people who have an earthly mindset. You'll be right back there. You'll be right back there in no time. It's easier to go there, right? It's easier to go there. Okay, so number four would be to spend time in prayer and fasting and praying in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Spending time in prayer and fasting. How do you get a kingdom mindset? How do you get a kingdom mindset? Number five, ask God for supernatural empowerment. The word says we have not because we ask not. So this is huge. We have not because we ask not. Matthew 7:7-8 in the English Standard says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. So we need to ask God in our prayer time, God, I thirst for a kingdom mindset because I know where it's going to take me, right? Matthew 5:6 in the English Standard Version said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Psalms 107:9 says, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So these are scriptures that are backing that up. We just need to ask God. We have not because we ask not, right? The same God that spoke the stars into the heaven spoke and said, whoops, sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here on that one. Next, you must know your identity in Christ. You must know your identity in Christ. You must know your identity in Christ. God has given us the authority to rule and reign over situations in life. Let's look at Ephesians 1:19-23. That should be in the NIV. It should be in the NIV. Okay, it says, in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms, far above rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So we see where Jesus is seated. He's seated at the right hand. That represents a place of authority. Okay? He placed all things under Jesus' feet. What are the feet? What are the hands? What are the knees? They're part of the body of Christ. Every born again Christian who's saved, you're part of the body of Christ. So we put everything under the body of Christ. Maybe you've never heard it spoken this way before. We are seated with Christ. And if we look at Ephesians 2:6, flip over to the next chapter, it proves it. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. So we're the feet. So that means you, each one of you, are a member of the body of Christ, are far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked. You're seated far above. He's given you authority. He's given you authority. Now, the same God that spoke this spoke the stars into the heavens. He said that you're seated in the place of authority with Jesus. God can't lie. God can't lie. It's for every born-again believer, every covenant-keeping born-again believer. The only reason that you're not experiencing it is because you haven't acknowledged it. You haven't acknowledged it. It's just like if Greg here, if he had an inheritance, and I told him, hey, you have a relative that passed away, and he didn't even know him very well. You have an inheritance, $5 million. All you got to do is go down and sign it. All you got to do is go sign it, and it's yours. I don't know, Rich. I don't know about that. I mean, I didn't even know the guy. Well, it can just sit there without ever being used, right? It's the same way with this authority. We have to acknowledge it. We have to know. We have to know who we are. We have to know who we are. What does God say that you are? Romans 8:37. In all things, we are more than conquerors. That's kingdom mindset. That's who you are. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's Philippians 4:13. That's who you are. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's a kingdom mindset. John 4:12. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. That's you, friend. That's you. That's who we are. And if we get to the point of a kingdom mindset where we stay there every day, you're going to be empowered for supernatural turnaround in your life. Supernatural turnaround. How many of you could use supernatural turnaround this morning? See, God does his part, but we have to do our part too. We have to do our part. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus didn't lay hands on her. Jesus wasn't ministering to her at all. As a matter of fact, he turned around and said, your faith has made you whole. Not Jesus' faith. So it's hard to hear, but we have our part to play. We have a lot of Christians that sit back and go, I'm waiting for God. God's going to do it. He's going to do it. God's going to do it. I'm just waiting for God. I'm just waiting for God. That's an elementary school level of faith. We have our part to play. We do. We do. The Word proves it. It's not sacrilegious. It's scriptures. It's scriptures. So this is your identity in Christ. What does God's Word say that we have? And I'm running out of time, but I want to show you. This is in Deuteronomy 28. If you guys just want to write that down, go home and read that chapter. It tells you what you should have. And if you don't have it, it's perverse again. Deuteronomy 28, the chapter of the promises. Right below that, write down Galatians 3:13 through 14. That links those promises to us now. Jesus linked that to us, those promises to us. And I'm running through this really quick now because we're running out of time. Now, I want to get to how do we maintain a kingdom mindset. How do we maintain a kingdom mindset? So stay in your word, meditate your word, fasting, prayer. You're building that kingdom mindset. How do you stay there? How do you stay there? Let's look at Colossians 3:2. Can we put that up on the screen, please? That's in the Amplified Classic, the way I'm looking at it. If you got it. Here's another commandment. And set your minds and keep it set on what is above. So we need to maintain. We need to maintain this kingdom mindset. He's commanding us to set our minds and keep it set, right? Well, let's think of it this way as a campfire. If I go out right now and light a campfire and I throw four logs on it, it's going to start to burn, right? The more wood I put on it, the more intense it's going to burn, right? Well, the wood is the Word of God. The more Word of God you put in, the more intense that fire is going to burn. I had a friend ask me, how do you walk it out day by day? How do you walk it out day by day? More wood on the fire. The wood that you put on the fire right now is not good enough for tomorrow. That fire will go out, right? You got to put more wood on it tomorrow to get the same result. So how do we maintain a kingdom mindset? Discipline is one word. I don't want to see a show of hands, but who all struggles with discipline here? Holy Spirit, help us to be disciplined in Jesus' name. Give us your empowering grace to have discipline to put your word in our heart in Jesus' name. That our fire could continue to burn so that people around us can see the kingdom mindset and see the proofs. See the proofs and want you in Jesus' name. So we maintain our kingdom mindset by putting more and more wood on the fire. More and more wood on the fire. James 4:8 in the English Standard. Can we put that up real quick? Lots of scriptures. Lots of God's word is good. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near unto you. Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto you. If you notice that scripture, it's not up there yet. We're working on it. James 4:8. English Standard, we're working on it. If you notice, it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near unto you. The first part of that scripture says, draw near. There's an understood you there. If I said, Kelly, take the trash out, or not, I didn't say Kelly, I said, take the trash out. The understood you would be, you take the trash out, right? You take the trash out. So this scripture's saying, you draw near to God. Again, we have our part to play, right? You draw near to God. And it's not reversed. It doesn't say God will draw near unto you if you draw near unto God. It says you draw near unto God and God will draw near unto you. So you know what that means is we control the level of relationship we have with him. We control how deep we want to go with him. So how do we maintain a kingdom mindset? Draw near unto God and he will draw near unto us. We decide how much wood we put on the fire. It's not up to God, it's up to us. Holy Spirit, show me the importance of drawing near unto God first. Daily, show me the importance of drawing near unto God first. Show me the importance of looking unto you only and not unto my own strength and the world around me. Having a kingdom mindset, and we'll close with this. Having a kingdom mindset is also a great witness to those around us. A kingdom mindset will affect our children. It will affect everyone around us with this kingdom mindset. I had some testimonies I was going to share. I'm out of time, but I saw my parents. I saw a kingdom mindset. I don't have time. Okay, I'll try to share this quickly as I can, and we'll to respect time. But so I saw something. I went to a park with my mother, and this is a kingdom mindset, a woman with a kingdom mindset. I don't know how old I was, 13 years old. And we went to a beach, a lake with a beach, and right off of the beach, out in the water, was a big playset that's built into the water. Big iron slides and swings and all this coming off of it. In the beach, we're sitting up. I mean, I remember it clear as day. We're sitting up kind of high, and it angles down towards the water, and just my mother and I. And there's a commotion. There's a commotion that starts going on. What's going on? And next thing you know, they're dragging this kid out of the water. He's about my age, probably 12 or 13 years old. And I'll never forget, never forget. His face was just gray and blue. And he looked dead. He looked dead. Maybe he was. So they drag him up on the beach, and people start doing CPR on him, and people come rushing in. I just remember being in shock because of how long this was taking. Nothing was happening. And they made a circle around this kid, and they circled around him, and then there was, couldn't see him anymore. And the time kept passing, and I'm just kind of freaking out, What the heck? So, as Mom and I are sitting there, she stands up. And I'm like, didn't think nothing of it at first. She starts walking down there. And then I'm like, oh, no. Hopefully none of my friends from school are here. Here she goes with this crazy stuff, right? So she goes down and she puts her hand on the shoulder of somebody that's in this circle around this kid. And they kind of clear out, let her in. And as they clear out, then I can see the kid. He's still blue. He's still gray. Dead, lifeless body. And, just like I thought, in the embarrassment, she's going to do it. And she gets down and she lays hands on him. And I couldn't hear what she said. It was only just for a second. This kid starts spitting water up and starts moving around. It was a powerful thing that impacted my life to see something like that. And here's this woman that had a kingdom mindset. There were tons of people there. And I was embarrassed. But she had a kingdom mindset. She said, the name of Jesus can save this kid's life. And she had the word. She mixed it with faith. And there was a supernatural power of God took place that day. And that kid's alive, Amen. So it's important that we have a kingdom mindset, because that affected me until now. We love our kids. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them have success. A kingdom mindset will do that. Faith in God will do that. God's promises will do that. So I encourage all of you, not just for your kids, but for the people around you. That's the commission, right? So, I want to do a simple altar call today. Just something simple. I don't want it to be a big deal. And you don't have to come to the altar. You don't have to. We don't want to embarrass anybody. This is between you and God. So we want to do two things. Number one, we saw Gatlin give his life to the Lord this morning. Amen. That was awesome. But is there someone else here? Or is there someone else watching? Or someone else that's going to watch this? It doesn't matter. This is between you and God. That says, hey, I want a kingdom mindset, but I need Jesus first to do that. I need Jesus first to do that. You do. You need Jesus first to do that. We sang about the blood this morning. It's awesome. He paid the price for you. So let's, everybody in the room, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. If you're already saved, just worship him and thank him during this time. If there's anybody in the room or online or anywhere else that says, you know what, I want Jesus to take over and be the Lord of my life, just raise your hand right now so that God can see it. Just raise your hand right now so God can see it. And if there's anybody else that would say, you know what, I've been separated from God. I walked away from God at some point. And you know what? I need him. The Holy Spirit is stirring you up. I want you to raise your hand also, and we're going to pray for you as well. Just say this prayer after me. Jesus, I need you in my life. I confess my sins to you. That you died, 3 days later, you were raised from the dead. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you took stripes on your back for me. I ask you to come into my heart. I give you my life today. You are my Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that says, I've been separated from God, but today I choose to stir that fire up. I need you, Jesus. I'm sorry. Just pray this prayer. Jesus, I'm sorry. I repent. I confess my sin. Cleanse me, Jesus. Cleanse me, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray for this congregation. I pray for TGP this morning. For each and every one of us here. We have a supernatural turnaround in our mindset today. a supernatural turnaround, God, for each one of us here in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, stir us up. Holy Spirit, stir us up. Teach us discipline that we can put your word on the fire every day, and that we can walk it out day by day with your help. Empower us, God. Empower us, God. Give us your empowering grace. And we look to your capabilities alone today, God. Holy Spirit, remind us in every situation in life to not look at our capabilities, but to look at your capabilities. In Jesus' name. Amen.